My father in faith was Ed Bousman. It's the first gospel sermon I ever heard. Come out of Catholicism. I remember going over at a revival. A guy asked me to go to a revival, and usually they wouldn't get around me because I cuss them out anyway. But it just happened that the time that my wife was looking for a church, it wasn't me because I didn't need it, see? And we went to that church, and there was Ed Bousman preaching, and he's flying an airplane, made a paper airplane around. I said, that guy's nutter than a fruitcake, man. But today, I want to honor Ed for all his service. Jude, the bondservant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James. To them that are sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ, and called, mercy unto you, peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you concerning the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you to contend for the faith that was once delivered. For certain men have crept in unaware, whose condemnation had been ordained of old. Ungodly men who exchanged the grace of God for lasciviousness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, I bring you to remember, so you once knew this, how the Lord saved the people out of Egypt and afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels, which kept not their first estate but left their own habitation, he has put in chains and darkness to the great day of the Lord. Likewise, Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities round about them to practice fornication ran after strange flesh. He is set as an example to suffer the vengeance of eternal fire. These filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when he contended with Satan for the body of Moses, did not bring a railing accusation. He only said, the Lord rebuke thee. They speak evil of things they do not understand, and things they know naturally as brute beasts they corrupt. Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain, ran in the air of Balaam for reward, and perish in the gainsay of Korah. These are spots on your love feast, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds without water, wind blown. Trees without fruit, cut down, twice dead. Raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame. Pointless stars for whom the blackness of darkness is reserved. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convict the ungodly of all the ungodly deeds they've done and ungodly way they've ungodly. And them. And the harsh speeches of ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are mockers, speaking swelling words, having men's persons for advantage. But you remember the words spoken of by the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. How they told you that mockers would come in the last days, walking after their own lust. These be they that separate themselves. They're sensual. They have not the Spirit. But you build yourself up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ as his coming. To him who can keep you from falling and present you faultless with great joy at his coming. To the only true God, mercy, peace, dominion, and power, and glory forever and ever and ever. Amen. Now that was the book of Jude. A little King James Version. A little New American Standard. And a little bit of the nearly inspired version. None of the dying Bible, which was the living Bible, none of that. In verse 20, Jude writes there, he says, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, how in the world are we going to pray in the Holy Ghost? Well, the Bible says there in that same verse, in verse 20, it says, build yourself up in the most holy carrion dinner. Build yourself up in the most holy family life center. Build yourself up in the most holy inflatables. Brothers in Christ, there's only one way to build yourself up in the most holy faith, to be able to pray in the Holy Ghost, is to build yourself up in the faith that was once delivered to all the saints. The Word of God. Romans 10:17, we all know that faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. But I am afeared, and I've been doing revivals and that our people are becoming ignorant of the Word of God. They're into everything else but the truth of the gospel of Christ. It is unbelievable as I go from revival to revival to revival. People have been in the church for 20-some years and don't know the simplest of terms, don't know the simplest things of the Bible. I was in a Bible study, and one thing on a Sunday morning Bible study, and the guy was teaching about the second coming and how the earth's going to be destroyed and everything. And he was reading the thing. He said, the earth's going to be destroyed. And then he just sat there and he goes. And this woman put up her hand. And she said, why would God destroy a perfectly good earth? Where has she been for 25 years? Hello. And then this guy put up his hand, and he'd been there about 15 years, because I asked him later, and he said, where will all the people go when the earth's destroyed? And there was silence in heaven for 3 months. And finally, I just felt compelled. I had to say something. I raised my hand and he said, yes. I said, they're going to go to hell unless we do something about it. We're not into the Word of God. It's just getting worse and worse and worse, man. This is the thing that brings life. This is the thing that will take us where we need to go. This is it. We're going to be judged by this, and we need to stand on it. And how are we going to be praying in the Holy Ghost or in the will of the Holy Spirit unless we know the Word of God? The more you know about the mind of Christ, the more you can pray great prayers to God and know His knowledge of God. And yet I'll tell you, I got this thing and I could believe it. It was a North American Christian convention. Here was the seminar part. They was having this. Rick Warren is senior pastor of Saddleback Church and is one of the most influential and best known Christian leaders in the world. Despite his accomplishments and notoriety, Rick is down to earth and genuinely loves people. His commitment to Christ, practical Bible teaching, ministry, helping churches grow healthy and appreciated across denominational lines. Rick has a heart for church leaders and will bring encouragement and blessing to the servants and leaders who come to the North American Christian Convention. You know what? When we do that, we forgot the Bible. And Brother Bowsman would say, you know, in Rick's book, it gives the sinner's prayer. That's not the way you're saved. But the Bible says there in 2 John, okay, there's something in here. It says something here, but I'm not sure it's relevant today anymore because we went beyond that. We went beyond the Word of God, and I don't know if it's as relevant, but you make up your mind. John writes here, he said, whosoever transgresseth and abide not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. He didn't come to their house. They went out and got him and brought him in. Now, brothers, there's enough people in our brotherhood that we don't have to go to the denominational world to have them bring a seminar or a class. Last night was proof of that. Great preaching. Right on the Word of God. You are not going to build yourself up in the most holy faith by going away from the Word of God. And then when we go with that word, let's get back to the Bible. We used to be a book, people of the book, chapter, and verse. You remember that? Now when I get to people, it's the biggest book in the Bible, I feel. It's in there somewhere. Well, how are we going to pray in the Holy Ghost? Well, the very first book says Jude. You know, we got an America, and we got a church with... There isn't any personal responsibility. Jude took responsibility for writing this, didn't he? Now, I sinned yesterday. Not yesterday, but the day before, yesterday. But I really didn't do it. You know who did it? You know. George Bush. George Bush did it. I really didn't have anything to do with it. And since we don't take personal responsibility, George Bush does about anything. Did you know, and you guys don't know this, but I've got the inside track. George Bush sunk the Titanic. He did, see? And not only that, he started World War I. Now, it doesn't matter that he wasn't born yet. When I sin, guess who what? It's my responsibility, isn't it, to repent? Absolutely. It is my responsibility. It's not your responsibility, it's my responsibility. We need a church that is going to be personally responsible for their sins and personally responsible for the ministry of Christ. When Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, he said, seeing we have this ministry, it's our ministry. Wherever you go, whatever congregation you're with, you're responsible for what happens there. You have a personal responsibility. It is your ministry too. Paul said, we have this ministry. We need to have people that's going to take personal responsibility for what they do. And when you take personal responsibility and you don't depend on somebody else to do your praying for you, you can pray in the Holy Ghost because you say, Lord, here I am. Not only that, we can pray in the Holy Ghost because we build ourselves up in the most holy faith. We take personal responsibility. Jude says there that he is a bondservant, a doulos. Doulos was somebody that gave of themselves without having their arm twisted. I am sick of people that are in the church making excuses for their bad behavior, for their sin. When you came forward and you were immersed in the Christ, when you said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, you said that not only to the people who were there, you said that to God Almighty. Nobody twisted your arm. Nobody drugged you down the aisleway. Nobody threw you in the baptistry. Nobody jerked you out of there. And listen, you need to understand, you came there freely. We gave ourselves freely. And if you haven't given yourself freely to the Lord Jesus Christ, that's why we don't serve. Bond servant. That bondservant would be able to, he'd go to the priest and they put a hole in his ear. He was set free, but his master was so good that he wanted to be with him. And when they saw that hole in his ear, you know what they said? He's a servant, he's a slave. No, they said, man, he's got a great master. When they look at us, what do they say? You say, we have a great master. We have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I pray if we do. We pray in the Holy Ghost. Because we're into the Word of God. Because we've taken personal responsibility. And because we have freely given ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll never forget that day, that night I was immersed into Christ. Number one, I didn't know that you could be baptized anytime. I didn't know that. I didn't know anything about the Word of God. I just started studying and that. And in fact, my wife was baptized like 3 weeks before I was, never told me. She's scared to. Because one time when I was reading, I was still going to the Catholic organization, and she was going to the Church of Christ. And she said, well, she said, the preacher wants to come and see you. I said, where you want the new door at? She said, what? I said, go out in the foyer and mark that door where you want him to go through, because I'll knock him out of there. She went back to him and said, don't you go near him. Don't you go near him. He'll run like crazy if you do. But see, so I read and read and read and read, and I was ready to be immersed in the Christ. I didn't know she was, because she thought I'd blow a fuse. But that day in that assembly, I waited, because I didn't know you could be immersed any time, and I was just hoping that preacher shut up so I could do what I needed to do. Freely walking, freely making the decision. Not only do we build ourselves up in the most holy faith, that way we can pray in the Holy Ghost. We're personally responsible. We can pray in the Holy Ghost. We become a doulos. Not only that, but the Bible says here that we're sanctified by God the Father. You ain't doing it yourself. I don't care how great you think you are, you're not that good. If it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ, we're all lost people. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians 6:9. He said, know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. How about us raising our hand? Was that us? Every one of us. Such were some of you. But what? But ye are washed. You are sanctified. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. You're not going to be justified by yourself. You can't make yourself just. And that's what the Old Testament law tried to do. Tried to make themselves just. I don't care how far you follow the law, how much money you give, how much work you do, you still don't deserve heaven. It's because of Jesus Christ shedding that blood on that cross, coming down here walking as we have, knowing the pain that we've had, knowing the problems that we have, it's the only reason we're going to go to heaven. And when you're justified by that, then you can pray in the Holy Ghost. You know what kind of prayer is prayer? Because he becomes what? Our mediator, doesn't he? We have an advocate with the Father, and it's Jesus Christ. Man, isn't that great that when you stumble around in your prayer life, and when he talked about the prayer, you know, that we need to pray, when he said that the biggest problem they thought in the brotherhood was prayer. That's my, I need to improve on my prayer life. Every time I come here, that's why I come here. I do. You know, you say those prayers, and you may, how many, I know you never done it. I'm just the only one. Ever put a sandwich in your mouth or whatever and start choking down a tenderloin or something and didn't pray? I guess I'm the only one. We need to improve our prayer life. And when we know that we have been sanctified by the Lord Jesus Christ, justified, then we can. Now look what else he says here. He said, you're called. He said, Jude, the bondservant of Jesus Christ, the brother James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father. Then he says, preserved. Preserved. You better hang on to Jesus. Preserved in Christ. You fall out of the Lord, you're done. You can't fall. I like those that tell you that you can't fall from grace. Galatians 5:4. How in the world can you fall from here unless you're on it? Right? You can't fall from here. And how can you fall from grace if you never had it? We are preserved in Jesus Christ. He is the anchor for our soul. He's the one that will make the difference in our life. We need to hold on to Him. And if you leave the Lord Jesus Christ, you've left everything. You blew it. I've seen so many people that's been in the church 30 years and then they give up the Lord Jesus Christ. I cannot understand that, brothers. I can't understand that. He is the one that will take you there. Jesus. Preserved in Christ. So when we've been in our faith, cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, we can pray in the Holy Ghost. We take personal responsibility. That helps us. We become a doulos. We gave ourselves. We're sanctified by God the Father. We preserved in Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that we are called. And this is where we have a problem in the brotherhood. And I see it happening more and more and more. In 2 Thessalonians there. I see more trouble. Paul wrote here, said, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. You realize how many people in our brotherhood who think you don't have to be immersed for the forgiveness of sin and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit? Who really believe that? Because when they look at somebody, they say, well, they're saved. Well, are they? Have they obeyed the terms of pardon? We are called by the gospel. We're not called by a quiver in our liver, folks. We're not called as one guy told me, he said, I was saved in a telephone booth. I said, man, how'd they get all the water in there? Is it water? What do you mean water? Well, you're not saved until you're immersed. And brother, it's the whole thing, faith, believe, repent, confess Him, be immersed, walk in the newness of life, be faithful unto death. Every part of that is important. But listen to me. We have handshook so many denominational people in our churches. We are losing what God gave us. We need to stand on the Word of God and it only. If I don't know something, if somebody comes to ask me a question, I don't know it, I'll make it up. No, if I don't know it, I'll say I don't know it. But what we need to do is get back to this here. Book, chapter, and verse. Here's what God says. Because it doesn't matter what Jim Spinotti says. It doesn't matter what any of you guys say unless it's coming from the Word of God. This is God speaking to us, and we need to grab a hold of that once again like we used to. You know, some churches, if you went and preached a hard sermon, they'd be headed for the exits, buddy, in a heartbeat. They'd have you out of there in a heartbeat. There's no doubt about it. I preached a sermon one time, I was doing a revival one time, and the elders called me in the back room. I didn't know what was, you know. It went pretty good, I thought. I got in the back room and I said, yeah, what's the matter, guy? You know, I thought they was real happy. They didn't look too happy when they were in the room, but I thought they would need some happy pills or something. And he said, you got to cool it down. What? Yeah, you got to cool it down. I said, what are you talking about? He said, well, you were talking about people that need to obey the gospel and they need to be immersed for the forgiveness and receive to get the Holy Spirit. Well, isn't that what the Bible says? And they said, well, if you don't cool it down, he said, you'll have to leave. Hey, man, I drove here and I drive home. And that was the end of the revival. I got in the car and went back home. If you don't want to hear the word of God, don't call the preacher of the gospel. If you don't want to hear the truth of the Bible, if you don't want to know, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free, don't call an evangelist of the Lord Jesus Christ to preach a revival. A revival's not here to tickle your ears and make everybody happy and to have the carry-in dinner, which all those stuff, and I want to make a point before somebody says I'm against family life centers and I'm against carry-in dinners. I love carry-in dinners, and I love family life centers. The problem is when the family life center becomes more than the Word of God. The problem is when the carry-in dinner becomes more than the Word of God. I don't have a problem with inflatables. You can inflate them all day long, but I'm telling you what, until we get back to the Word of God, we are in definite big-time trouble. Let's stand on it. Let's stand on the Word. Let's get back to the Word. You know, if we pray and we don't know the Word, how are we going to talk to the Father that loves us? This is His love letter to us. And yet, how many people don't read it anymore? You guys out there, I'm telling you what, you're the generation that reads. But the young generation, we had a Thanksgiving dinner, and my granddaughter Jasmine come in, texting. You know, family time. Give me that. I will hurt you. We will visit you in the hospital. Grandpa, you going to take mine? Yes, give it here now. Some brothers. We need to be people of the book. I got to tell you, I was preaching up in Vermont before we get done. And I was on that texting, and I said something to the thing, and the kids were sitting up front, and they started laughing, you know. So that night, guess what? Because I said, there's preachers that text me, say, hi, how you doing? I don't have time for that. I don't. What are you doing? Used to call you on the phone, ask you that. Now they're too stinking lazy to call you on the phone. No personal relationship whatsoever. So I told them kids that. Well, that night, guess what? They called somebody to get my cell phone number. Yeah, so I picked that thing up and said, hey, this is Michael. What are you doing? They got me a good one, boy. So the next day they were standing around laughing, you know, when I came in. That's kids that love the Lord, though. Let's get back to the Word. Let's stand on the truth of the gospel. How are we going to pray in the Holy Ghost? Get into the Word. Take personal responsibility for what we have. Become a real doulos. In other words, you came of your own volition. You understand you're sanctified by God the Father. You're preserved in Jesus Christ. And you're called by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we can go to prayer because we have the mediator, the Son of God, the creator of the universe. And He is there all the time. And I hate to tell you this, but He works the night shift.